Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 385. Top of the day to you, Steph.
Hiya.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. We've been reading Australian fiction.
We have.
We've been reading a book called Ritual by Chloe Elizabeth Wilson that we'll talk about a little bit later on during the podcast. We'll give our review thanks to Penguin. You know what? I think it comes out this week. The 5th of May. What is the date today? Oh, it's already come out on Monday. So you can go into the shops and grab this right away.
Very exciting.
Very exciting. I've watched a couple of things, but I think I might only talk about one because I know that you've been really busy.
I've been pretty busy, so I will combine two together.
Okay.
And then I've watched another one, which I think you've watched too. So we could hold hands and skip and dance while we talk about it.
Oh my gosh, it's going to be so fun.
I mean,
fun.
It has nothing to do with skipping and dancing.
No. But I'm sure there was some choreography involved in it.
Yes.
I had to learn the choreography. So, look, I think all of that is wonderful. Also got some news, which I'm not saying it properly because we're not doing it yet because I've got a quiz as well. And the quiz is about books made into films.
Oh, okay. Mm. Okay.
Well, you know, we've got a book review. So that's what we'll be doing. But all of that after the news.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
Little bit different. Did you like it?
I really, really had a lot of time for that.
Thank you so much. I was workshopping it and thought, let's just give it a go.
Do it.
Yeah.
Do it. Have a little bit of a flair.
Yeah, let's have a little bit of
new
fun.
New month, new flair.
Woo-hoo. Patrick Schwarzenegger.
He is.
Was in The White Lotus.
Yes.
And he's a bit of a talk of the town at the moment, I think, in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. You know, people want him in stuff. He wants to be in stuff. And there's news floating around about the traps that they're going to make a new adaptation of American Psycho.
Oh.
Now, that movie came out in the year 2000. It was based on that Bret Easton Ellis book from 1991 called American Psycho. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? It was either you couldn't buy it or you went into bookshops and it was sealed in plastic because it was deemed quite violent. I don't know if it's still the case. But I remember going into a bookshop and going, why are they doing that to books now? And then thinking, oh, it's just that one.
It's like the Dolly sealed section.
Yeah, that's right. The Madonna sex book.
But not.
No.
Not so horrifically traumatic.
No, not as traumatic. Anyway, he thinks that he would quite like to play the main character, who was played by Christian Bale, I think, in the original.
I'm surprised they're remaking it.
Mm.
Doesn't feel like it's
time. Because the year 2000 was about
5 years ago.
It was five years ago. Yeah.
Why would you remake something five years later?
Isn't that funny, though? Because to us, we're like, oh, I haven't seen that yet. I'm getting around to it because it's still quite new. But I wonder if Patrick Schwarzenegger was even born when it was made. Or would he be a bit older than 25?
Look, he might have just
very
been
close.
Just a little ickle pickle.
That's right. Really, really close. He tweeted, he said, I'd love nothing more.
Look, you've got to put it out there in the universe.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to think positively.
Because you've got to get the fans behind.
Yeah.
And I've also heard that this is kind of gross but not surprising, right? Instead of looking at people in casting auditions, they now look at, before they cast actors, they now look at people based on their following, their number of followers on social media.
Yeah, I've seen it on models talking when they've gone for castings, you know, New York Fashion Week, Paris Fashion Week, and they said, oh, I'm a bit excited for this casting because the designer followed me 3 weeks ago.
Oh, so you get a little bit of an inkling as to what's going on. Yeah. That's interesting. But it's weird, right? Because how do you get in? Especially for modeling, how do you get in if they're only looking at you through social media? Like, how do you have a social media presence if you haven't made it in modeling yet?
I don't know.
That's a real catch-22.
I mean, maybe you do actually just have to walk the streets with, you know, your comp card.
Be a bit of an influencer.
And, yeah.
Film it.
Do it the old school way until
and
you
film yourself
and film
doing
it. Exactly.
Mm. Do you want to have a look at some things that have been going on in the box office lately?
Yeah.
I quite like looking at this.
Go on.
Having a look at what is actually massive around the world. So Thunderbolts is a Marvel, like, Disney film. It made, over the weekend, $162-ish million globally.
Whew.
That's one I know you're not going to see.
Yeah, I'm not seeing that.
That's fine, though. People have enjoyed it. They've gone out.
Let them enjoy it.
It's nice. It's nice in this uncertain times, mm-hmm. financial uncertain times, that people still want to do a little treat themselves.
Yeah.
Go to a movie.
Yeah.
A treat. It's nice. Minecraft movie, still not going away.
Oh, it won't for a while.
At the moment, it's made over as we speak, it has made over $870 million globally.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. It's insane. And I've also heard a lot of people talking about taking their kids mm-hmm. or like their nieces and nephews to it.
Yep.
A few weeks later, so this is why it's still in the box office, in hopes that they can go along and do all the shouting.
Yeah.
And somebody, I can't remember which podcast it was, but somebody likened it to Rocky Horror Picture Show. You know how people go and they're all like dressed up and they know the lines that are going to be said and the whole audience says it together. And obviously there's music and songs in that as well. But Minecraft, there's a whole lot of lines that people like to say.
It's exciting because that's often with movies that have been around for a while. Like, I know there's a Frozen
mm-hmm.
sing-along screening.
The Room as well.
Yeah, whereas
this
one is a new one.
Yeah.
People are loving it. I do know of people who have gone to see it a couple of times.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
It's good when you can enjoy something like that.
Yes.
It's really fun. We're talking about books, right, because we're going to be reviewing Ritual by Chloe Elizabeth Wilson a little bit later on. But I saw Who Magazine has got 7 books to read before they make it to the screen this year. So I thought, let's get ready. We need to be prepared for this kind of thing. So the first one is called Mickey 17. Have you heard of it?
No.
I mean, I've heard of Mickey and I've heard of 17, but I haven't heard of them together.
No. Is it a young adult novel?
It stars Robert Pattinson and it is being directed, think of Parasite, you know, the Bong Joon-ho.
Mm-hmm.
So he's adapting it into the film and it's set in a chilling landscape of ice, of this ice world, and the narrative follows a disposable employee dispatched on a daring human expedition, aimed at colonizing this harsh environment. Each time one iteration meets its demise, a new body's regenerated, carrying forth most of his memories.
Ah,
isn't that cool?
Yeah.
I kind of like it.
That's up your alley.
Yeah, that is up my alley. I think I might read that one before I watch it. It's one of those ones, you know, you think, well, I often feel like if I'm going to read the book, I need to do it before I watch the adaptation.
I think that's the classical way of thinking about it.
Yeah. In my mind, it's almost like if I'm playing an open world game, think of like your Fallouts or your Horizon Zero Dawns.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do all the side quests before I finish the main story because if I finish the main story, I'm like, don't need to.
See, sometimes I have read the book after watching things.
And?
The book fills in the gaps for me.
Okay.
Because there's always more detail.
The Housemaid.
I want to read this. I haven't read it.
Sydney Sweeney's going to be in the film. So she plays a young woman who takes a housekeeping job for a wealthy couple, and there's dark, like secrets that have been lurking behind their perfect facade. That's how it's written in Who magazine. That one I reckon will be a real page turner. I think you would probably read that in a week.
Yeah.
Before the film even comes out.
There's quite a few of them, aren't there?
Yes. Well, like, at least two.
Yeah.
Maybe three. The Hunting Wives. Have you heard of this one by May Cobb?
No.
So this one is about a lady that moves to Texas and becomes like entangled with the alluring but dangerous socialite called Margot. And as obsession turns to seduction and murder, our main character Sophie's life takes a dark turn.
I'll read that. I'll watch it.
Eight-part series, so they're going to definitely tell the whole story.
Yeah, love a series.
Emily Henry, she writes a lot of those sort of romance books, far out books, and it was only a matter of time.
Yeah.
This one's called People We Meet on Vacation. And it's...
I was looking at this book in the other week. Yeah.
Apparently Molly Shannon's going to be in it with Jamila Jamil and a whole heap of others as well.
But
it's basically about two people, Alex and Poppy, get together on a summer holiday, and that's the end of the story.
Nice.
Well, it's not. I mean, there's obviously a whole book there, but Verity. Haven't heard of this one, but Anne Hathaway and Josh Harnett, and Dakota Johnson are all going to be in the adaptation. While staying at Verity's home, Loan discovers a chilling manuscript that reveals dark secrets about Verity's life and marriage, pulling her into a web of manipulation and deceit. Sounds a bit scary. This is one that I have read, Fourth Wing by Rebecca Yarros. It was just around everywhere, and I thought everybody likes it. I actually listened to it. I listened to the audiobook. There's a new genre. Well, not really new, but there's a genre called romantasy, where it's set in a fantasy world and it's a bit of a romance, right? So it's about a girl who goes to a dragon riding academy and they're like getting ready to go to war. They're basically being soldiers, but they're all horrible to each other and they're all catty. And the audiobook that I read, the narrator was kind of like this. And then I said, what about you? Are you well? And then he said, yeah, I am. Oh, well, that's great, isn't it? I was like, oh my gosh, can we just hurry up and get through it? Now, I don't know if the audio narration ruined it for me or if it just wasn't my kind of book. I'm not sure, but The Fourth Wing will be made into a film and I know that there's two other in the series, so people will be really excited. The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo.
Yeah.
I've heard of this
one.
I want
to read this one.
Loosely inspired by Elizabeth Taylor, which I think is really cool because she, I remember, you know, back when we were kids and our grandmother, she would have like the New Idea or the Women's Week and would always be like, oh, Elizabeth Taylor's got a new husband. Wow, she's up to her 16th. It wasn't, I think it was 7 or 8.
Yeah.
So those are the seven books that who.com recommends us read before they come out as film versions later this year. Very excited. Good mixture too, right?
Yeah, really good.
What's the one I've got to read? Mickey 17. Okay, pressure's on. Pop that in the everlasting list. Never ends. Do you remember the Jasper Ford Thursday Next books?
Yes.
And then her grandmother wasn't a, she was like, oh, no, I can't die. And they're like, why not? I can't die until I read every book.
I often think about that.
I think about it all the time. Isn't that funny?
And then I think, oh, God, imagine all the ones that you're not enjoying. You're like, I'm way too old for this.
I can't believe I have to read young adult fiction.
I don't want to.
I'm 119.
It doesn't hit the same way second time round.
No. Oh, my word. Let's get into some watching and reading suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Let's kick it off. We've been talking about it. Penguin sent us a copy of Ritual by Chloe Elizabeth Wilson, an Aussie novel by first-time writer, I think, because this is her first, I was going to say film.
Writer.
Someone who writes books. And it's set in Melbourne, and it's about this almost...
I mean, if it's not set in Melbourne, it is 100% set in Melbourne in my head.
Oh, really? So if they didn't say where it was set, you'd be like Melbourne.
Oh, I was picturing Isn't Melbourne, that funny? Like suburban side streets, the fashion of, you know, young, hip women in Melbourne.
Yes, yes.
I was like... That's
Isn't
what
that
I was,
funny?
Yeah.
I mean, that could easily be something that you could attribute to the writing style.
Absolutely.
That it really gave you that feeling of being set in Melbourne. So Ritual is Ritual Cosmetics, a fictional multi-million dollar cosmetics company from Australia, from Melbourne.
Yet to jump the European market, I think it was.
Yes, that's correct. That's correct. So obviously in other parts of the world, I'm assuming Asia probably.
Yeah.
Can't remember. I think it was Asia.
Yeah.
And our main character, Marnie, takes a job there and every employee there is just really into working there, like a little bit too much. Mm. And the creator and CEO, Luna, is they're basically their living god. Every employee just thinks she is the greatest thing ever, better than sliced bread.
But a tad, just a string of fear in there, like of, oh, I can't disappoint her. I
can't disappoint her.
I have to do this perfectly. But there are kind of unspoken, I guess in a way, rituals within the place of like where things are done and how they're done and who can be there at certain times and the way things are said. You know, they won't address people by name, but they'll be like, hello, two, if there's
two. Yeah, because there are two people in the room. That was weird. I didn't get that at first. I had to reread the paragraph. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Because at one point in time, there's, let's say, seven, and then the next thing they're like, oh, hi, nine. And you're like, hang on, I thought it was seven. And then you realize, oh, but there were two.
Yes.
Yeah, two extra people had walked into the room. And things get a bit weird as people become more obsessed, including Marnie, our main character, gets more obsessed with just the world, the environment, immersing herself in the ritual offices.
Mm.
And as a reader, you're like, this is getting strange. I'm learning more about it and it's creepy.
Yeah.
And you can't stop reading it.
Oh, no, I devoured it.
If I said 3 days, would that be?
Yeah.
You said you were tired one night and couldn't read much of it.
Yeah, and I was working at the same time, so it wasn't like I was just lying around reading all
day
long.
But that's insane, right, to get through a book that quickly.
I found it so intriguing in that you knew Marnie was going down the rabbit hole.
Mm-hmm.
But there was this really gentle subtlety of, does she know, is she aware that she's going down the rabbit hole?
Yes.
Or is she actually going down the rabbit hole drinking the Kool-Aid? That kind of idea.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting way of going, is she nuts or is she
crazy?
Solving it.
Yeah.
Trying to figure it out that's for us as the reader.
Is she jumping in
or
is she infiltrating?
But good book.
Yeah, I enjoyed it.
A really, really good book.
Do you know what I was trying to think as I was reading, I was like, where would be the best place to read this? Like not the best place, the best situation. Mm. And I think if you bought that at the airport,
sat down
on the plane, opened the book up, probably by the time you got there, you'd be halfway through, depending
touched
on the
out,
flight.
Finished. Right.
Now
did,
what?
Did you watch a movie? No. I read this book.
I couldn't stop.
So great that it's an Australian fiction written by a woman about women in an industry that we could all potentially have a part of, get sucked into. Mm-hmm. We're not giving away anything. So if you think, oh, I don't want to read something about a cosmetic brand.
We're leaving a lot out.
We are leaving so much out because you must go down the rabbit hole
you have
yourself.
To. You have to. Oh, my gosh. It's so, I read it in about 5 days and I was working at the same time. Yeah. I took it into work a couple of times to read there as well. I just couldn't stop. We watched a film on Amazon.
Yes.
It was on Prime, right?
It was on Prime.
G20.
Was it
called the Summit or just G20?
Just G20.
So it was set there. It wasn't a normal G20 summit. It was a summit that bad things happened. Some bad guys took over
Some terrorists took over the summit.
And luckily for all involved, the American president was down to save the day. Now,
Viola Davis is the American president.
A little bit different to their real president, who you can't imagine saving the day.
Oh, he would not have coped in this situation. He probably would have been one of the first to go. Yeah. But thank goodness Viola Davis
was
in her custom-made red gown.
That's right.
Gown.
Ready for fighting.
Thank God she refused to wear heels and she wore her sneakers because she knew.
She knew something was going on.
One of my favourite bits that did make me giggle, but I was along for the ride with this one.
Oh, it was just a bit of fun.
I was along for the ride.
It was funny. I'll let you get back to it really quickly, but I just want to say it was funny because it was a real action hero movie that you would have watched back in the 80s, 90s, 2000s, where you're along for the ride where America is the hero. But now that things are a little bit different, I was watching it with different eyes.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it because I went back into the early 90s and I was watching with that mindset.
I mean, to give them credit, they gave Viola Davis the US president a backstory.
Yeah.
So that she had some sort of reason.
Ex-military.
As to why she could perhaps go against the terrorists.
She was a war hero.
She was a war hero.
Before she became president.
So she kind of knew what she did. Mm-hmm. But my favorite bit that I giggled at was when she was climbing through with this red gown on and she goes, hang on a second, and she just rips the bottom of it to make it a short dress so she could climb in an elevator.
Oh, yeah.
Shaft with more ease, I guess. And I thought, brilliant. That's exactly what we wanted.
That's what we want in a president.
That's what we want.
It was good fun. It was just a really good fun action
movie. But there were
some
really interesting parts which have evolved out of the 80s, 90s, early 2000s, how they were had all of the world leaders in this room and videos going the whole time, and they made them read a sentence that had every single sound in it.
That was the creepiest bit,
and then
I reckon.
Used AI to create fake news headlines.
It was so creepy.
Blast across the world.
But that bit was too real.
It was so real.
That was too real.
It was very interesting.
And the bad guy was an Australian.
He was an Aussie. And I thought, I think we're getting a bit of a bum deal at the moment because, like, in The Resident, the Australian. Okay, in 5 minutes, okay.
I want some
cookies. Okay. Yeah.
So that was so funny.
I think it's about time we kind of, I don't know, redeem ourselves.
Australians have to
Why
become heroes.
Why are we not jumping in elevator shafts? Why are we? I mean, being the terrorists, though, we were kind of badass.
We were pretty organized.
Super organized. Yeah. They had no idea what was happening.
No, no one had any idea because we go under the radar.
Don't worry about those lot. They're just larrikins.
They're busy with their shrimps and barbies, with their tiny barbecues.
With Hugh Jackman and Kylie Minogue.
That's right. Hugh Jackman just wandering past. I started watching Daddy Issues on SBS On Demand, and the reason I watched it is because Amy Lou Wood is the main character. She plays this single woman in her maybe late 20s, and she has a one-night stand on an aeroplane and then becomes knocked up, and there's no one there to support her except for her father, who's a bit of a dropkick, but he's a lovable larrikin. And he's played by David Morrissey, otherwise known as the Governor in The Walking Dead. So it was interesting to see him play an actual normal, happy-go-lucky character. It's just a fun show. It's, you know, they're short episodes. It's a light comedy. It's exactly the kind of thing that you want if you're mixing it in with programs like Handmaid's Tale and The Last of Us, which are the two things that I've also been watching. Yeah. Good. I just recommend it. Just watch it. Daddy Issues. There's one season. It's from last year.
How many episodes did you say?
I'm only up to episode 4, but I think there's probably about 6 or 8.
Yeah,
there's not that many.
Nice.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good length.
Yeah, it's a really good length. 6 episodes. There's 6 episodes of it.
Cool.
So I'm more than halfway through.
Well, I have been watching some theatre.
A theatre?
And musicals.
Kind of like Gary.
Yeah. So very different shows, but I'm just going to lump them together as one watching suggestion. So I went to see the Australian Shakespeare Company perform for a kids' production of Alice in Wonderland. And it was held in the Botanical Gardens in Sydney. And they had a huge set up, and you brought a picnic blanket and you sat down to watch. And there was even moments where they would get everybody up and move them to a different section.
Oh, so the whole audience would move. That's fun.
They had all the adults stand up and they lined them up, dressed them up as cards and got them to march around, and then they had to line up, and the Queen of Hearts
really
came out
fun.
With stilts on, so she was enormous. Then all the kids were told to be caterpillars and they crawled across the ground and threw the legs of the cards.
What sort of age were the kids? Was it a bit of a range?
It was a bit of a range. They were probably early primary, preschool.
That's so big.
Oh my gosh, Darth Vader is rocket ship. Has to watch A New Hope.
Only the first 10 minutes
of it.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I think, early primary, preschool was probably the age group who enjoyed it the most.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
the older ones would have understood the story a little bit better. Because let's be honest, Alice in Wonderland is a little bit convoluted.
It's really weird.
And I had little people who were
having mushrooms.
They're like, what is the cat doing? Like, cat's just there. And they're like, what are those big arms? Oh, she's big now. Okay. Anyway, it was lots of fun, singing, dancing, great acting. It was fun to go and watch something. It was a little bit like a pantomime.
Good fun.
Then the night before that.
Oh, wow. I squeezed it in.
Very different show. I went to the MJ, the musical.
Oh, Gary was talking about that. He didn't go into too much detail about the songs and the choreography or whatever, but he said that it was kind of a story up to a certain point.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what, I don't know, I feel like the people I went with, we all sort of said the same thing. It was great that it had a story, and the storyline was they were in the studio the few days, week, before the Dangerous Tour.
Oh, okay.
Which I think was 1993. And it was them preparing it, rehearsing it, changing things up. And there's an MTV camera crew who are given 2 days to watch rehearsals and
make
access
something out of it.
To Michael. Wow. And Michael's like, I don't do press. I've been crucified before. I'm not having a part of it. But they hear things because they're all mic'd up, so then they're trying to dig in. It was a good premise in that it gave great way to
make it bigger.
Oh, that's as big as it goes. To go back in time with memories, and that was really good. The choreography was spectacular. There were moments where I was like, oh, you've got good dancers, take it further, take it further. But even so, they were really good. It was fun to hear all of the music. However, they justified not including a whole bunch of songs because they said it was about the Dangerous Tour. So they didn't actually include a lot of the Dangerous album, which doesn't make sense to me because that would have been out.
That would have been what they were,
So there was a whole range of hits that you're like, they didn't even do it. Like, how do you not do those songs? So they left a little bit to be desired in that respect. The ending, I thought they could have finished with the opening number of the Dangerous Tour and just go to town with it, and they just didn't. It had a very abrupt ending that was kind of like, is this how it's supposed to end?
Or the director comes out and says, and this is the end, guys?
Yeah. It was like, if you had a technical issue and you've just like gone.
Oh, really?
Was that abrupt? I don't know. It was quite abrupt. However, the young guy playing MJ, his name is Roman Banks. He does come from the US. This man is phenomenal.
Oh, wow.
Like, he had the voice, not just the singing voice, the talking voice down pat. Of course, the dance moves were spot on, but he had you just going, oh, my God.
You are Michael Jackson.
Oh, my God, you are Michael Jackson. So much so, I had to Google what he looked like in real life.
Oh, wow.
To be like, let me see who you are.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. The young kids playing Michael Jackson as a child and a teen were phenomenal as well. I was a bit dubious being the whole, you know, Michael Jackson
Walkies.
A little bit cancelled, but it was really fun. Okay. It was a good one.
And you know all the songs.
Yeah.
Even the ones they didn't play.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the quiz?
I am.
I gave you a warning. You know exactly what it's about. So I hope whilst you've been talking that you've also been studying.
Oh, my gosh. Multitasking.
Mm-hmm. What year was this film adaptation released? I'm going to say the name of a movie.
So hard. I thought you'd be like, who starred in the film adaptation of this?
Well, this first one should be okay if you were listening to me earlier.
Well, we know I wasn't doing that. We all know that.
American Psycho.
2000.
About it. Yes, 2000. Because we were talking 25 years.
2000.
Oh, my gosh.
No, but the book was 1992 or something.
1991, yeah. You've got to say the movie.
Okay. Sorry.
That's fine. Twilight.
2005, 2007, 2008. Oh, I went down.
2008. What about Sense and Sensibility?
1995.
I'm not doing very well. Okay, this one, you have to base it on French and Saunders.
Because we've never seen the film, only the
Misery
skit. Yes. Stephen King's Misery. What year?
Oh, no.
We've never seen it.
I don't know.
Well, it was always
in the 80s?
It was
90s. Give me a ballpark. I've never seen it.
1990. That was the year.
Why don't you just give me a ballpark? I could have guessed
that. Because if I said 1990 in the 90s, you'd be like, 98? And I'd be like, no,
no. You could have gone, it is between the 80s and the 90s.
Here is an older one. Gregory Peck's To Kill a Mockingbird.
The 60s?
Yeah, it was in black and white.
Yeah, 3.
Oh, you're so close, 62.
Oh.
Yeah, and I've decided to finish final one with an even older one, The Wizard of Oz.
1950.
Lower.
1940.
Lower.
Wizard of Oz, 1930, before the war. 1937. 8.
6.
6.
1936. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Yeah, that is crazy.
Love that.
That is crazy.
That's crazy. That was so much fun. I enjoyed that.
I got every single one of them wrong.
But honestly, there was only one that you should have known. It was literally only one.
What, the one that I should have
listened
to?
That we were speaking about just before.
Yeah.
All right. Now that Henry is watching
Mr. Maker.
With the speaker on.
He'll do a review of that later.
Okay, fantastic. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
0 for 6.